This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Nato, a professor with an economic model that finds that even a shockingly long national lockdown to slow the coronavirus is, if you will, cost-effective. This rough model estimates a national lockdown for a year would cost about $4 trillion. Staying open with no lockdown would cost much more, $6.1 trillion, because the model estimates 500,000 more people would die. This model uses the government standard calculation for the value of a human life. The economist with the model is Sergio Rebello, a professor of international finance at the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to talk to you, David.
Now, your model suggests that the coronavirus lockdown could go on a long time and still make economic sense.
Well, yes, because you are trading off the economy with the death toll of the epidemics. And a lot of that depends on the mortality rate of the virus, which we're still a bit unsure about. But for some numbers we mostly use from South Korea, where they've done a lot of testing, it does make sense to do something draconian in the short run.
I mean, the opposite of draconian is no containment. And under your model, the economy shrinks by maybe about 6%. But what, 500,000 more people might die?
Yeah, so many, many more people die. It is important to understand that even if you don't do anything, you still get a recession. So things won't get back to normal. The reason being that you still have an epidemic raging and people will take precautions. They will shop less in retail stores. They will try to limit the amount of time they spend at work. Productivity will be lower because people will distance from each other. So we still have a recession even if you have no containment. But the virus will spread much more, and by spreading, the death toll will be higher.
If government pushes for a containment strategy for a long while, a whole year, this will save, according to your calculation, 500,000 lives. But the economy in your model then really shrinks. What'd you come up with? Shrinks like 22%?
That's right. Takes a huge beating. So I think what those numbers say is that we need to move forward from this blunt containment. The reason we are using this kind of blunt containment that we modeled is because we do not know the health status of the population. We really don't have a good handle of how many people are infected, how many people have recovered and have immunity to the virus. So a combination of testing, contact tracing, those technologies will really allow us to open the economy gradually and bring the economy back. The longer the economy is in lockdown, the bigger the scars and the harder it is to come back. Now, you have to take into account this infection externality. People don't take into account that if they are infected, they might infect others. It's a bit like pollution. You know, I'm just one person. What's the big deal if I drive around in my car? But because we all think in the same way, there ends up being way too much pollution. So infection is a little bit the same way. So that's why there's room for government action.
But isn't that interesting? I mean, economics focuses a lot on this idea of an externality. That's when you take an action that you don't actually have to pay for. So what you're saying is this is where government comes in.
That's where government comes in. So this is why leaving the economy to its own devices will not produce an optimal solution, because there's this externality. You know, I have a little bit of a fever, maybe I could infect other people, but I'm not sure even if I'm infected and I need to get something from the supermarket, so I'll do a quick run. And everybody thinks like that, there's way too much infection going on. And we end up having a very high death toll. So that's the concern. And one component of that externality is the medical preparedness. We have limited capacity in hospitals. So if you have a lot of infected people, then the death rate will not stay constant, but it will shoot up just like we saw in the early days of the epidemic in Italy. And that is the reason why these measures, if it's the only tool you have is this blunt containment, it's worthwhile putting them in place, because you really want to avoid what it is a tragic situation with mortality rates that are very, very high just because you cannot care for the sick.
Back to this idea of blunt containment, the whole country closed down for perhaps a year, or free for all, people just go about their business and lots of people die. What's being contemplated is something in between. Like, for instance, smart lockdowns, lockdowns for temporary periods until the immediate danger passes. I mean, that's what the real world is going to bring us.
I think so. I think we're going to move towards smart containment. That's unavoidable, because ideally you'd like to quarantine the people that get infected. So suppose you could test people very, very frequently, then you just quarantine the ones that got infected. And very quickly, you get the number of infected people to shrink to zero. But that requires enormous testing capacity that's not available at the moment. However, we can ramp up towards that.
I'll tell you what I wish for at some level is a sudden innovation in technology that helps us treat this virus that ruins your model. That's what I'd like to see.
I would love that too. I want to say that also the calculations in our model are for the worst case scenario, because the model takes into account that treatments can arrive and vaccines can arrive. But then we are discussing the scenario where these innovations do not arrive. So we're really looking at this worst case scenario. Now, vaccines make a difference to the optimal policy because vaccines typically do not help those that have become already infected. And that's something to take into account. And that's why when a vaccine is in the works, you want some tough measures initially because you really want to reduce the number of infected people, because even if the vaccine arrives, the infected people will not be helped. Mm.
Sergio Rebello is an economist and is a professor of international finance at the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Pleasure to talk to you.